marvelous, marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, marvelous, marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, marvelous, marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, marvelous, marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, marvelous, marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, marvelous, marvelous things. Praise the Lord.
Oh. And Dr. Jones and the mid-morning choir. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and verse number 3. And it begins this way. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way. for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come. And the man of lawlessness and sin is revealed, who is the son of doom or the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshiped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested or revealed in his own appointed time. For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is through the activity and working of Satan, and will be attended by great power and with all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and delusive marvels, all of them lying wonders. And by unlimited seduction to evil and with all wicked deception, for those who are perishing or going to perdition because they did not welcome the truth but refused to love it that they might be saved. Now pay attention to verse 11. Therefore, God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working of error, and a strong delusion to make them believe what is false. I'm gonna give y'all a minute. I'll read it again. Therefore, God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working of error, and a strong delusion to make them believe what is false. Now, who sent this? And did it say to help them believe? What did it say? Why? Verse 12. In order that all may be judged and condemned, who did not believe in, who refused to adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. So even after they have come to recognize that they are believing a lie, they cannot reverse it because God has made them believe it. Where are you when God makes you believe something? Are y'all here? All of this in the context of what we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks. When I say God is in control of everything, even here is just one example. There are others. He can make you believe whatever he wants you to believe. He can. Now, this is why you should be thankful. Verse number 13. But we, brethren, beloved by the Lord, ought and are obligated as those who are in debt to give thanks always to God for you. Because God chose you. And y'all still ain't reading. What is it? Because God what? When? From the beginning, as his first fruits, his first converts for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And your belief in, adherence to, trust in, and reliance on the truth. So because he chose you, he moved you to believe the truth, accept the truth, rely on the truth, and adhere to the truth. But it's all because he chose you. Last verse, it was to this end that he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain and share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen. God's word for God's people. So as we come to communion today, thank God for, as we've said, giving you eyes to see, giving you ears to hear, and so that you recognize every ounce of your salvation you owe to him. On the night our Savior was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Let us eat together." Likewise, he took the cup, blessed the cup, and said, "This is the blood of the New Testament. As often as we do it, beloved, we show his death, his burial, his resurrection, and anticipate his return until he comes again." Let us drink together. Ushers, if anyone is in the vestibule, you can let them in at this time. Are you all beginning, and well, not beginning, but are you all at a point where you are gaining more of an appreciation of what the Lord has done for you? They shall have. Anybody that wants to come to the altar can come at this time. Sting life for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. They shall have, they shall have everlasting life. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for giving us a mind to turn toward you. And thank you for having a home waiting for us in glory. Father, you awakened us every day of this last week. And every time you woke us up, we couldn't say anything but great is thy faithfulness. We thank you for what you've brought us through. We thank you for what you're bringing us to. We thank you for every day that we did not know it, but your angels were all around us. And they were taking care of us simply because we are the chosen of God. Help us to appreciate your love. Help us to appreciate your goodness. Help us to appreciate your kindness. Help us to be grateful for your forgiving nature. And help us to recognize that the best blessing we have is the fact that we are the apple of your eye. Continue to let your light be seen in us, through us, and all around us. And when this journey is over, we pray that Jesus will unveil us in front of the Father. And the Father will look at us and say, "Job well done." And we know the credit goes to the Holy Spirit. We give you the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
He would not come down.
Down.
from the cross. He would not come down from the cross just to save himself. No, 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 no.
He decided.
He decided.
He decided.
He decided.
He decided.
He decided.
Thank you.
Father, we surrender ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister McFarland, Dr. Jones, and the Mid-Morning Choir. I'd like to invite all of you to come with me to 1 Kings, the 16th chapter, and then 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. 1 Kings, the 16th chapter, and 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. First Kings 16 and First Kings 22. Our focus is still on God's sovereignty and His control, which, if you know He loves you, is good news.
Amen.
First Kings, the 16th chapter, I want to set up one of the antagonist in our story today, Ahab. In verse 30, to give us a synopsis of his character and where he stood with God. In verse 30, it says, "And Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all before him. And if it had been a light thing for Ahab to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, he took for a wife Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and served Baal and worshipped him. 32, he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria." Now, Samaria is the capital city of Israel. "And Ahab made an Asherah, an idolatrous symbol of the goddess Asherah, and did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel before him." I'm going to stop right there, and let's go to 1 Kings 22. And we're going to be reading in this passage. I'm just going to begin at verse 1. Syria and Israel continued without war for 3 years. So let me explain a little bit of this context, and then we can continue with our conversation. Ahab was mentioned here in 1 Kings chapter 16 as being a king who infuriated God by his behaviors, by his actions. And he went and got a wife from among the people God told Israel not to marry. And not only that, but after he got that wife, he started worshiping the gods of his wife. And he not only started worshiping the gods of his wife, he actually built a temple for the gods of his wife and offered sacrifices to her gods instead of his own. The wife, of course, is Jezebel. And at this point, there is a trilateralship of power in the area between Israel, Syria, and Damascus. And as the relationships worked, if Israel was on good terms with Syria, then Damascus hated them. If Israel was on good terms with Damascus, then Syria hated them. So either way, they were going to be hated. But these three were the prevailing powers in the Mediterranean region at that time. The Assyrians were about to engage in their world domination. They were this time under the rule of the king known as Tiglath-Pileser III. And everybody saw that Assyria was starting to come down, and they were starting to just occupy territory and take territory. So at that point, when they were doing that, you had King Jehu of Judah and you had King Hoshea of Judah, and what they decided to do was go ahead and get in with the big dogs, because there was a family split between Israel and Judah. Israel had the 10 tribes. Judah had Judah, Benjamin, and many of the Levites. So with this going on, you had a family struggle, and what eventually happened was that Judah invited Assyria to come down and to help them fight against Israel. Now, you know, Israel and Judah are all from the same pot. All of those are the children of Jacob. And so when they invited Assyria down, they said that they would pledge their allegiance to Assyria. And in pledging their allegiance to Assyria, they then became what is known as a vassal state, where they had to pay tribute and they had to also surrender many of their military people to the Assyrian army. But if that be the case, Assyria would see them as a vassal state or a region that they would defend, and the kings wanted defense against Israel. So they came down Assyria and actually aided Judah, but when they aided Judah, they decided to invade Israel. All of this was based on God's prophecy, because Israel had sinned, and God said, I'm going to send in a nation from the north that's going to take you And after they come and invade you, they are going to disperse you across their empire, which is exactly what took place. However, we're at a point in time right before all of that begins to happen. And so you have Damascus, Syria, and you have Israel as the trilateral powers. And in that, you also have Israel, whose king is Ahab, Judah, whose king is Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was considered to be a righteous king, unlike Ahab. But he made a mistake that we're going to see in verse number 2. The mistake was he decided that he would try to make amends with and try to help unite the kingdom by going to Samaria, going to Israel, and when he went to Israel, he was going to try to solidify a partnership between Israel and Judah. The mistake was God had not told him to do that. And that's why the first thing I wanted to share with you today is, even if something looks like a good idea, you don't move until God says to move. Okay? That's why the Bible says he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now let's go to verse number 2 and let's get into the story. In the third year, now this is when Syria and Israel are at peace, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, and Ahab, you remember he had all of these false prophets, he was worshiping these idol gods. Ahab, the king of Israel, said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? And we keep silence and do not take it from the king of Syria?" Now, okay, you at peace with Syria. Why are you going to stir something up? But understand what he was saying. And I hope that you can relate that in the present context. Ramoth and Gilead at one point belonged to Israel. Now it had not. It belonged to Syria. What you are seeing is that Ahab wanted to do the exact same thing with Ramoth and Gilead that Putin did with Ukraine. It used to be ours. We want it back. That is exactly what you're looking at. Okay, y'all here? Okay, say something now. Y'all got to say something now, though. All right, and so he was saying, shouldn't we go and take it because it's ours? Verse number 4. And Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "Well, will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead to battle?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." But Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first, I pray you, for the word of the Lord today." Are y'all here with me? Now, and we're not finding fault, but now you already agreed to go with the man. Already? You didn't pray before that. You already here with the man, and you know the man ain't no good. You know who he's worshiping. You know what he's doing. Number one, why are you here? But then after you agree with this snake to go do something, now you're going to say, "Well, can we pray first?" Look, and one point I'd like to make is this. Beloved, when God shows you who you around, you need to get up out of there. Don't keep waiting. Don't keep staying there. When God shows you who you with, you need to break camp. But first of all, you gonna go. God didn't tell you to go. Then you're going to decide to sit here and sup with the man. You know what he's about. After that, you're going to then agree with the man to go take somebody else's territory when the Lord has you at peace. And that's when you're going to decide, can we hear what God's got to say? Are y'all here?
Amen.
Now look at verse number 6. Then Ahab, king of Israel, gathered the prophets together about what? And said to them, now you know these are prophets that are worshiping these other gods.
All right.
And he says, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I hold back? And they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into your hands. Verse 7, Jehoshaphat said, but is there not another prophet of the Lord here? somebody else that we might ask? Okay. All right. Y'all with me so far? Now, y'all follow this. That's why I tell y'all all the time. Look, Steven Spielberg and the directors in Hollywood ain't got nothing on the Bible. Okay. Look at what it says. And verse number 8. Now look at what Ahab says. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat. Now remember, Jehoshaphat said, is there somebody else? And he said, yeah, there's yet one man, Micaiah, son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of who?
The Lord.
But I hate him. And look why I hate him, because he never prophesied good for me. But evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king, in other words, I'm going to put it this way, Jehoshaphat said, no, don't say that. But did y'all notice? Ahab knows that his prophets ain't prophesying for the Lord. And he knows a prophet who is prophesying for the Lord, the one he decided not to call. Because he's too busy wanting to hear something that's going to affirm what he wants. That's what you got to be careful of when it comes to the gospel too, my beloved. There is a difference in the gospel and the message you want to hear. All right. Some people don't want to hear the truth. So they'll flock to something that sounds good to their ears. And it might not be the truth. All right? Okay. It reminds me of Jeremiah when Jeremiah was prophesying. And remember, Jeremiah was prophesying and these other prophets were telling Israel, oh, everything is lovely. Everything is going to be good. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have bounty. You're going to be plenteous. You're going to be prosperous. And God told Jeremiah, will you go down there and tell them that they are lying? Because it ain't about to be good. I'm about to bring something on you. Okay. All right. It does not take courage to hear what you want to hear. It takes courage to hear the truth. All right, y'all. Y'all here? All right, so let's do verse 8 again. Ahab, king of Israel, said, Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good for me, but evil. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say that. Then Ahab, king of Israel, told an officer, bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah. Verse 10, now the king of Israel, that's Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting in royal robes or armor, each on his throne in an open place, pay attention, y'all, on a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. Okay, y'all laughing. Tuesday nighters, they were sitting on a threshing floor. They were sitting on a threshing floor. That's where you would go to summon demons. That's where you would go and summon the spirits of dead kings. So you in an area where you know they calling up demons. You in an area where they call what are known as the Rephaim, the spirits of dead kings, which were nothing but demons in disguise. This is where you sitting, waiting on a word from the Lord. All right, y'all come. Y'all come on. If somebody in here, you need to pay attention where you sitting. While you say you waiting on a word. All right. So, here we go. Verse 10. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting in royal robes or armor, each on his throne in an open place on a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, son of Chenaiah, made him horns of iron. In other words, he was going to make him a visible representation, since he needed to be to see what you call that when you want to use something, a visual aid. So he made him some horns of iron and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets agreed, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Everybody with me? Okay. Caveat, when they said the Lord was talking to them, they weren't lying. They just weren't talking about our Lord. The name Baal means Lord. Be careful when folk come to you talking about the Lord told me to tell you this. Okay? But understand, they were saying, the Lord said, go ahead and go. All right, come on, keep reading. What does the next verse say? Verse number 13, the messenger who went to call Micaiah said to him, behold now, the prophets unanimously declare good to the king. Let your answer, I pray you, be like theirs. And say what is good. In other words, don't come in with no mess. Look at verse 14. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, I will speak what the Lord says to me. So he came to the king. King Ahab said, Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we hold back? And he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. And the king said to him, how many times must I charge you to tell me nothing but the truth? y'all missed that, didn't you? So Micaiah said the same thing the other said. And Ahab said, how many times have I told you, tell me the truth? So that means that you know these other prophets are lying. Are y'all here? Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm serious. Verse 16 again. King said to him, how many times must I charge you to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Now pay attention, y'all. And Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? This is how y'all know they're Negroes. You know what I'm saying? This how y'all... You know what I'm saying? This how y'all know we talking about our people. But when you talk about the sovereignty of God, these are the verses I'm getting to, and we'll let you go. Micaiah then revealed what God had shown him. Verse 19, and Micaiah said, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Is everybody with me so far? And the Lord said, now he's holding court, and his host is around him. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and what? Fall at Ramoth Gilead. So the Lord was saying, I'm going to kill him. I just need to know which one of y'all going to go up there and seduce him. Look at the next part. One said this way. Another said that way. So there was discussion. One was saying one thing, others were saying another thing. Look at verse 21. Is everybody with me so far? Amen. So God is holding court, going back to the heavenly Sanhedrin, going back to the council of spirits and angels that are over this earth. What you saw in Daniel, remember when Nebuchadnezzar went crazy, it was because the watchers had declared that he would now have the mind of a cow. So we're looking at the spiritual realm above, and the Lord is saying, okay, I'm killing Ahab. Which one of y'all gonna get him to go up there? One came up and said one thing, another one came up and said another thing. Then we get to verse 21. Then came forth a spirit of whom I am about to tell. Pay attention, y'all. And stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. The Lord said to him, by what means? Now look at this. I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. The Lord said, you shall entice him and succeed also. Go forth and do it. So the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets. And the Lord has spoken evil concerning you. One spirit taking over 400 men. Yeah. And making them lie. Yeah. One spirit. 400 men. And the spirit is making them tell a lie. Because God has a purpose. Remember last week? No, a week before. I don't know when it was, but a couple of weeks ago. We showed y'all in the Bible where evil spirits came on people. And the Bible didn't say the devil sent them. Now, what power do you have if you won somebody and hear one of those spirits can control 400 people? Where's your free will? Where's Ding Frank? Ding Frank, I'm reading the book. I'm reading the book. Ding Frank said, yeah, you reading it. You ain't got none. You ain't got none. God will make you believe whatever he wants you to believe. God is in charge, not you. We praise and worship him because he has moved us to believe in him. And that's simply because he chose us. That's why when we get to glory, ain't, can I say ain't? Thank you. Ain't but one somebody gonna get the glory. Ain't but one somebody gonna get the honor. Ain't but one somebody gonna get the credit. And that lets you know if he's the only one that's gonna get it, and the Bible says it's due him, that lets you know who's been operating everything all the time. See what I'm saying? So as I close, what does that mean? You and I need to learn to be thankful that he could have chosen us for something else. But he chose us so that he could show his mercy and his goodness and his kindness. Bow your heads. Oh God, I thank you for teaching us more and more about the fact that you are in complete control. Yes. Thank you, because in learning that, it gives us more security. Because we recognize our salvation is not because of merit. We are secure because you chose to make us yours. And that's why Jesus said, whomever the Father puts in my hand, nobody can take them out. And I will not lose one of them. There's somebody here who's not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe the Lord is moving you to say yes today. If he is, right where you are, say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary. I believe that you arose 3 days later. And after that, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Because I don't want to just be one of the called. Yeah. I want to be one of the chosen. And you told me in John 6:44, I wouldn't even have that desire unless you gave it to me. Someone else who would like to join this congregation, there are cards in the back of the pews. If you'd like to join this family, then just feel free to take a card, fill it out on your way out of the sanctuary and out of the vestibule, put it in the box in the vestibule, and saints from the membership intake team will be excited about getting in contact with you and welcoming you into this body of believers. And it will be our honor to love you with the love of Jesus Christ. Yes. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God, the only King of kings and Lord of lords, be all glory, all honor, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, through the ages of the ages and the eternities of the eternities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
Thank you for having me.